I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. Welcome in churning. Great ideas, great callers, excitement. Mediocre producers, but what the heck? You can't have everything.
Hey, watch it.
Hey, 855-839-1210. You get on board. So here's a little bit of the response on the Roger Stone sentencing. It was technically possible to argue that Stone deserved the severe federal sentencing enhancement for threatening physical harm to a witness. But it's being argued that, by others, it would place Stone in a category of the guidelines that typically apply in cases involving more violent offenses, such as armed robbery, not obstruction cases. Noting that Stone's advanced age, health, personal circumstances, and lack of criminal history also counseled against the harsh penalty. Okay? So I get it. You want to get it, Trump? Put Stone on Rikers Island, too. All right. It's interesting how that goes. You know what the mark is of somebody who is not looking just at it's consistency on stuff. So is this consistent? And it's not what was proposed. Just like Manafort, as I said, is a scumbag to me. But putting him on Rikers Island for the various cheating that he did, that he was convicted of around housing and stuff like that in New York, come on. You're not putting somebody like that ordinarily in Rikers Island. Now, if we were consistent and said we ought to do that with white-collar criminals, that's a different thing. 855-839-1210. You get a line. All right, let's go to Patrick in Kensington on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Patrick, good morning.
Hey, Dom, how you doing, man?
Very good. Sorry to see Martin Luther King did not get the historical designation.
That's okay. That's, you know what? Just so you understand, the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection put in writing, this is in writing now, that the first sit-in of Dr. Martin Luther King, the first time he was involved in the court battle, which happened in Maple Shade, New Jersey, which is in dozens of biographies and newspaper articles, the New Jersey Department of Environmental Protection found that that incident was not historically significant. I mean, that's in writing. The DEP put in writing that Dr. Martin Luther King's first sit-in.
So no, I think
be toast. I mean,
yeah, I thought it'd be a good thing. But okay, so we agree on something today. Yeah. Let's move on
Senator
to it.
Troy Singleton, by the way, Senator Troy Singleton is meeting with the DEP on Friday and taking him to task. So,
okay.
But that being said, you know, Roger Stone, you know, witness tampering, especially threatening some sort of violence in New Jersey, that's a 20-year sentence. Remember, New Jersey weed man was on trial for that. They kept him in jail for over a year.
Well, I know the weed tampering man. Now, wait a minute, though. So this Frankie Pentangelo thing with Roger Stone, you see this, though, as something that rises to that level. Why didn't they charge him with 20 years then?
They saw it for weed, man, and they kept him in jail for over a year for that same exact charge.
Well, maybe, so, I mean, maybe they overcharged weed man on that, too.
They did. That's why he beat him in court.
Okay, well,
he actually,
you know,
pro se beat them, and now he's suing them. Now, that being said, the standard charge for anything that, in New Jersey at least, witness tampering where there's any type of a threat is 20 years. So, I mean, you're not talking about, I mean, 7 to 9 years is not that much. Now, also, I just wanted to say, you know, I'm kind of glad that Joe Biden has fallen out of the race, but I would have loved to see him and Trump debate, because I think Biden would have on stage.
Yeah, well, I don't see, Patrick, that's wishful thinking. Who is your sweetheart?
Oh, my girl Rosie O'Donnell.
Thank you very much. America's sweetheart.
Rosie O'Donnell.
I wonder if which one of the women on The View would be America's sweetheart. None of them come up to it to me. I can't stand Meghan McCain, for example. Maybe Sonny Hostin might be the best there, and that's only by a nose.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
It can't be Joy Behar. And Whoopi, I mean, America's sweetheart. I don't see anybody up here with mine yet, though. But maybe the day is a little bit young.
I think Abby Huntsman's probably the closest, right?
She's no longer on there, though. Yeah, I guess she would be, though. You know, tepid. She's there because of the father and the whole thing. All right, so 855-839-1210, Roger Stone. Getting 7 to 9 years. President Trump goes public with it. Barr goes after that. Is this just the worst example of lawlessness, or were these people overcharging, as I think they were when you take recommended charging? You take the totality of this, that's what it looks like. And it all comes back to, well, we want to get at Trump. Roger Stone is no threat, was no threat to do violence to this guy with that movie reference. That was Godfather. Is that Godfather 2? Yeah, Godfather 2 reference. All right. It's pretty innocuous, but okay. They convicted him of obstruction. Out of all this phoniness of Mueller, the Russian hoax, etc. Okay, well, then that's what the penalty is. And what do you usually get? A year off for good behavior, 6 months, something like that. White collar type of stuff. That's what they're arguing. I don't know why these four Justice Department attorneys saw it differently, but people see things differently, and Barr's in charge. And the remedy for this is, if people don't like what Barr is doing with Trump's endorsement, we have the election coming up. They can keep this in mind, and they can vote against him. That's what it comes down to. 855-839-1210. I want to play you Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Dan. This will be cut 14. She says something, maybe she's predicting it'll be terrifying to America. I don't want us to be terrified of Bernie Sanders and the threat that he's out there. I don't think that makes you desperate, makes you saying wild things. I want us to be, what's the word, on the alert, ready to go, ready to drill down, to work even harder to stop this. But you know what? This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity to expose once and for all. Now, I know you could say, how many times do you have to expose socialism? How many times do you have to do that before it goes away? Well, guess what? It's going to constantly take time to do this because there is a human impulse toward getting something for nothing among some, laziness, and to do it by force if necessary. Okay? All right. So here is Huckabee Sanders talking about being America should be terrified of what Bernie Sanders represents.
Look, I think the president's reelection chances right now have never looked stronger. The idea that his approval rating is at an all-time high and crazy Bernie may be his opponent, he's a proud socialist, may actually be the Democrat nominee is, frankly, I think should be terrifying for everybody. Not to mention Bloomberg, if he continues to rise, is going to have serious problems with women, with African Americans. His record, his language is offensive and atrocious. Then again, maybe he can buy the DNC just like Hillary did and steal it from Bernie like they did in 2016. Either way, I think this is another great night for President Trump, and I think he is going to continue to look strong as he moves to November.
Well, that part I agree with. Okay. That part is definite that this all aids and abets Trump. I still don't think Bernie is the weakest opponent. I think it's Elizabeth Warren. She's not going to make it. Could be the VP with Bernie. That'd be a double play that America would reject. So are you worried that there are enough people out there? Maybe you've never called before. That's what I'm asking. I'm asking in your circle, not stuff you just see on TV. Are there people that actually would say, well, I don't care what you call it. He's going to give me something. I want to take that. I don't care if you call it socialism. There is some of that. I don't think they're the majority by any standard that I can know. And remember, this is before the all-out attack that Trump will make on this. If he's in a debate with Bernie Sanders, that's all it will be about. Socialism, socialism, socialism. She referenced Bloomberg there. I don't think what we played you yesterday, I'm not Sean. I'm not going to tell you stuff when I you know, put on the rose-colored glasses. I don't think the stuff we play to Bloomberg is necessarily going to ditch him with African-American voters. Here's the reason. If they think he's the guy to beat Trump, if they think he will do stuff for them despite this racist comments that he made in the stop and frisk, they're going to go with that. And the media is going to let them go with that. They're not going to call them out as they call out you evangelical voters. We haven't seen yet. Have we seen the media write this? What kind of a voter pattern could there be for African Americans after the stuff we've seen with Bloomberg here? I mean, in what universe could you vote for him? She also referenced Bloomberg's problems with women. There's a lot of non-disclosures, a ton of them. I don't think that's going to stop him either. If they're hell-bent on saying, we don't care what this guy did, he has the money, and we think he's the one that can beat Trump, then I think they're going to go with that. I think what you have to expose this guy is as a tyrant, as a sought-off tyrant who wants to do to America what he did to New York City. And he wants to interfere with individual freedom and liberty all the way down to the big gulp. That's what Bloomberg represents to me. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. At the end of your call, just hit us with America's Sweetheart. I'd like to see some males up there, too. We got a lot of good females here. And Roger Stone, this is playing out as we speak today. I think they're going to recommend a year to 2 years, something like that. Why is it important? Well, it's important because the same thing with Manafort. They're not important in the end game. It's all about doing anything to get at Trump. They still believe magically somebody has something on Trump, they're going to shake it loose. If they could use torture, they would. Well, we're against torture, but hey, waterboard Roger Stone. If you put that up there, Dan, as a polling question in certain precincts, should we waterboard Manafort or Roger Stone to get at the truth about Trump? This is the group of Democrats in New Hampshire that said they would rather have a meteorite, 62% of them polled, hit Earth and make us all extinct rather than Trump being reelected. 62%, the meteorite. I think they would waterboard Roger Stone in a heartbeat. Well, this is different. Not at Gitmo with terrorists, but Roger Stone, yeah, waterboard him. Hey, good Wednesday, everyone. It's Dom time. Welcome in. Thanks so much for being part of it. You know that the Justice Department, William Barr, what was it, on Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, escalated going after sanctuary counties, states, cities, right? New Jersey being one of them. Well, this got a response from Jane Rao. She is the district attorney's office in Philadelphia chief spokesperson. That's the woman who got a little bit slapped on the wrist when she tweeted out pictures of people coming to support Maureen Faulkner and said they were going off to a Denny's. Get it? Remember that? You know, white supremacy, the whole thing. Well, she put out this statement about that whole deal with Trump people going after sanctuary cities. Donald Trump and his sycophants are attacking prosecutors in major jurisdictions where there are large populations of people in color, of hopes of repeating Nixon's blatantly racist Southern strategy. Donald Trump is doing exactly what his white supremacist friends tell him. He's attacking progressive criminal justice reform policies and the cities where they're in play to whip up racism fear because he's too cowardly to say the racial epithets he really means. Data reported by the Philadelphia Police Department to the FBI show a steep reduction in violent crime in Philadelphia over the past decade. What? Ah, thank you. Dan, let's walk outside. Let's all walk down Broad Street in North Philly tonight then. There's no violent crime out there. Or South Philly. This dates back to the administration of the deadliest DA, Lynn Abraham. They take shots at Lynn Abraham here. The old approach of targeting poor and minority communities for arrest and incarceration with little regard for truth and integrity did not end crime in America. Instead, it has caused crime. It broke the backs and spirits of human beings, destroyed families, and ensured that the end of slavery in America would not be the end to mass oppression and control of millions of Americans. Can you imagine? This woman represents the DA in Philadelphia. So crime is down. The steep decline of violent crime under Larry Krasner. Wow. I'm sure the victims will be glad and the police will be glad to hear that that's happening. Wonderful stuff from Let 'Em Loose Larry. That's a response to President Trump and the sanctuary cities. God. All right, let's go to, let's see. Let's go to Jim in Dover. Jim, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, Jim.
I told your call screener that I thought that James Comey, or if we really want to hurt Roger, give him Hillary Clinton's sentence that she's received for all that she's done.
Right. Well, you know, the difference is he was convicted. I mean, there's no getting around that. They were not convicted. I got your broader point, but that's the sticking point here.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that's the way it is. We know that.
Yeah. So so when you have those two that are all involved in this, you're right. McCabe is the one that sets me off too. And what they've done mm-hmm. that we know of and not even charged with any crimes, and they want to put Stone away for life, literally. Yeah, it is a double standard. It is hypocritical. But that's what's going on here. Who's your sweetheart, Jim?
I would say Laura Bush.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Laura Bush as first lady, one of the great first ladies. That's a really good one. No males out there yet, right, Dan? How about on Twitter? Anybody come up with a sweetheart? At DomShow1210, you should follow us on Twitter, at DomShow1210.
We've got Jennifer Aniston and Jennifer Garner a couple of times.
Okay.
I can go with either of those. Meg Ryan was America's sweetheart, and then it turned out she's crazy. That was from Hasan Ben Sober.
All right.
Katherine Heigl, who hasn't been relevant in about 10 years. So good answer.
Yeah.
Marianne from Gilligan's Island, who hasn't been relevant in about 40 years.
Well, that's a perfect one, though. It was always Marianne versus Ginger. Marianne was America's sweetheart. That's kind of the example, but she's not current. You're right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you the current day that I think no one has said yet because we gave them enough time. Got to take a big one off the board. Ellen. I know that's controversial because of the same-sex stuff, et cetera, and the way that went down when she came out. She got kicked out of the series with Laura Dern and the whole thing, right? But I would say Ellen is America's sweetheart. Likeability. She's very high up there, even with all that.
Controversial answer, but a good one.
Yeah.
And I have nothing to fight back with you about.
Okay, let's go inside the vortex, son. I want to get Joe's on the board before we hear some others here. We need our mood music to get in there with Joe. God knows. What cartoon character might be America's sweetheart? Joe, who do you say?
Oh, no one told me it could be a cartoon character.
No,
oh,
come on.
Oh, I would have said Snow White, but I don't know. I kind of like the Gilmore Girls. I think they're America's sweetheart.
Gilmore Girls? You talk about a kind of minute reference here.
That's not minute.
I think it's pretty, Dan, you have to rule on that. I think that is pretty minute.
It's a good answer if we're living in 1998.
Yeah, Joe, maybe.
It wasn't even on in 1998.
Maybe Joe should get under federal sentencing guidelines for that answer. 3 to 6 months at least.
Come on. That
at least 3 to 6 months.
Okay, fine.
Now, Joe ought to be a cellmate of Roger Stone for that answer.
No, fine. Then the old woman who was the model for the Gerber baby. That's America's sweetheart. Because she's still on the face of the Gerber jars.
And this right here is an example of why we call it the vortex.
The vortex. Thank you. Let's get out of that before the federal prosecutors are swarming this building. All right. So let me go to Ralph in Broomall. Ralph, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Good morning, Ralph.
Dom, listen, in your monologue, you really hit on something. More than you know, when you mentioned about, how did Bernie become Bernie? You know, where... What makes Bernie think the way he thinks? Yeah, the Brooklyn Dodgers. Let me tell you, I grew up as a kid in Brooklyn. I mean, I was 10 when they moved. Bernie was probably a teenager. We were devastated.
I just saw this today. It is a great thing, and I could see that. And he started talking about corporate greed because Walter O'Malley and then the Giants moved too. And the real story is, Ralph, the guy that was running New York, and this plays into what Bernie wants to do. The central planner, Robert Moses, wouldn't let them build the ballpark they wanted. They were getting killed, attendance-wise, et cetera. That's why they moved, essentially.
Yeah. No, I know. You see, so Bernie, I could understand him feeling that way. But then again, Bernie and I also both grew up during the Cold War. And that's where him and I definitely part company. I mean, he goes to Moscow on his honeymoon. I went to the Jersey Shore.
Ralph, imagine now, there's so many Americans, you know this, talk radio listeners do, out there, who only vaguely know of Bernie Sanders, despite being, when they hear this guy honeymooned in Moscow. That is going to, and you know, Trump is going to play with that forever if he is the nominee. Yeah. I mean, you can't get away with stuff like that.
But speaking of the Brooklyn connection, now also, you know, Rudy Giuliani is a Brooklyn guy, as Bernie.
Right.
Dershowitz was a Brooklyn guy. Actually, I grew up in a neighborhood that was built by Trump's father. I mean, Trump was from Queens, but his father did a lot in Brooklyn. So, I mean, there's that definite Brooklyn connection there. And I understand today, you know, a lot of people who are an influence today have these roots, this commonality. And you could see different directions that people went in life. And it was just very interesting when you brought that up.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to be talking more and more about Bernie. Hey, Dan, did you see this? We were just offered to get on the national spokesperson for Michael Bloomberg. All right, I sent it to you, so I think they want to come on today. That might be in the 11 o'clock
hour. I offered for 11, so we'll see.
Oh, perfect. Okay. You know, I will ask at least two or three major areas. If they say, no, we're not talking about that, then, well, what are we going to do? But we want to hear what they have to say. It is Bernie and Bloomberg at this point, but we haven't seen Bloomberg on the stage yet. Once he's up there on the stage and they start going after him, I think you're going to see there's going to be trouble here for him. All right, and our side question of the day, just hit us with America's sweetheart. Chris Matthews has been on a roll. Let me play you first. I don't know if we've even played this, what he said about socialism. And last night, he said that 2020 Democrat voters are like drunks who want to ride home. Remember what he said about bullies recently, about shoving cigars down your throat? Here's what Chris Matthews has been saying on MSNBC, of all places, about socialism.
But there seems to be shaping up a dichotomy, a division, perhaps a civil war in the Democratic Party between those who want a revolution, which I think is a minority of the party, and those who just want to ride home. They want to get a designated driver, get them home, whether it's Buttigieg or it's Amy Klobuchar or it may be Mike Bloomberg, someone to get them home to where they feel good about their country again. It's going to be Klobuchar did really well Friday night, and she really did well because of audacity. For some reason, Buttigieg, Pete pulled back on Friday night. I don't know what he thought he was riding, but he made a big mistake. He didn't go through. He was winning. He should have stayed with it, given audacious answers. Instead, he played it careful. He didn't want to offend the Bernie bros, the Bernie people.
All right, so they're like drunks wanting a ride home. This guy, if nothing, let's play the cut of Matthews. This is the other day where he talks about socialism and what socialism really is. But remember, I just said socialism. I left off the big word. Democratic. You got to say that. We're not socialists. We're democratic socialists. All right, that makes all the difference, right? When they start coming after people and the gulags start, well, it was democracy that voted this. All right, here's what Matthew said about socialism.
The issue of this campaign, it is that word socialism. Some people like it. Younger people like it. Those of us like me who grew up in the Cold War and saw some aspects of it, if they're visiting places like Vietnam, like I have, and seeing countries like Cuba being there, I've seen what socialism is like. I don't like it. Okay? It's not only not free, it doesn't freaking work. But I don't want to get into I'm on every night. I let the Democrats figure this out. I have my own views of the word socialist, and I'll be glad to tell them, share them with you in private. And they go back to the early 1950s. I have an attitude about them. I remember the Cold War. I have an attitude towards Castro. I believe if Castro and the Reds had won the Cold War, there would have been executions in Central Park, and I might have been one of the ones getting executed. And certain other people would be there cheering. Okay, so I have a problem with people who took the other side. I don't know who Bernie supports over these years. I don't know what he means by social. One week it's Denmark. We're going to be like Denmark. Okay, that's harmless. That's basically a capitalist country with a lot of good social welfare programs. Denmark is harmless.
He's pretty clearly in the Denmark category. Yeah.
Are you sure? How do you know? Did he tell you that?
Well, I mean, that's what he says, and that's what his agenda calls for, right?
Yeah.
He's not calling for an
Let's figure that one out.
But we haven't seen a campaign yet where video of him praising the other version
right.
of Castro has been used.
Well, but that
will be used.
That's a question
we
of
seen how that plays.
Of how tangible, what the effect that has.
Well, what does he think of Castro? That's a great question. What did you think of Fidel Ismo?
That is a good question. Of course, at MSNBC, right away, it's Denmark, it's Sweden, you know, the good socialism. Always with that.
Dude, the guy's on your channel like 10 times a week.
Right.
Yeah, it is a good question. So ask the damn question.
Yes. So here's the thing. Here's at the root of it. Yeah, in the beginning, Bernie Sanders, and with the restraints of the American Republic, would not be able to be Castro or anything else. And I don't think Trump is going to say that. I think it's going to be more measured how he goes after it. The big flaw here is it comes back to basic liberty. In other words, he's not going to come in and take over the factories in the manner of what they did in Venezuela. But the amount of regulation, and maybe even worse than regulation, the pointy-headed planners, we already have too much of the administrative state. And Trump has struck back to take away some of that power. But you can see how difficult it is. We don't need more central planners. We need people to get out of the way, get the government out of the way. That's the core of Bernie Sanders' socialism. It's not just the taxation. It's all these regulations, all these plans coming out of Washington, out of central planning. How can you point, you know, in these smaller countries, it's bad enough. They do have some of that. But these are homogeneous, much smaller countries. Imagine trying that on a nation of 320 million plus people. That's exactly what would happen. And he would do a lot of it by executive order, particularly around climate. Let's play out two. I'll give you one to start. Who would be in Bernie Sanders' cabinet that day to day would be interfering in our lives? You know who one of the stars would be? AOC. She's got an economics degree. Can you imagine this nitwit heading up? Oh, I don't know. Would AOC be Secretary of Treasury? Would she be the head of the Commerce Department? Can you just imagine? And she exactly would be in the cabinet. Maybe Health and Human Services, HUD. Imagine the mischief day to day across America that someone like that would cause. 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push #1210. You're getting a busy signal. Keep calling. We're coming to you here. Big day here. Post this. And we're hoping that Dan's going to be able to get the Bloomberg national spokesperson on. They want to come on. They pitch me. Okay. I'll hear what they have to say. And there's a couple of areas I want to ask about. The tape that dropped yesterday. And I also want to ask about, you know, what foods I'll have to get used to. I'm not going to ask about the height. I'm not going to ask what the official biographer. Dan, can you look that up, too? Can we get this once and for all? What does Bloomberg's official biography say his height is? All right. Oh, you're petty, Dom. You're beyond belief.
5'8".
They're lying.
Yeah, 5'8's like a normal size. He's not a normal size.
You know how I am with height. I'm pretty good. I could be on the boardwalk guessing stuff. You know what? That would be fun to do at our next event. If you come to Radiothon, I'll guess your height and weight.
Yeah, that carnival game.
Yeah, with women, I always deduct like 20, 25 pounds. You know, I'll guess your age, too, and I really deduct on that side. A man, I just tell you what I think.
I don't mean to obsess on height, but how tall do you think is Jeff Van Drew?
Jeff Van Drew is about 5'7", I think.
Yeah, and I definitely don't think Bloomberg's taller than Van Drew.
No, he's not. I've been near both of them, and I think that Bloomberg is the same height or shorter than Van Drew.
Yeah, I think he's short. I think Bloomberg's got to be around 5'5", 5'6".
Yeah, when you're putting down 5'8", you know, everybody lies about the height. In my official biography, they'd have guys measure me. Don't cheat, though. I wouldn't say 6'2", 6'1 and a quarter. Now, Dan, you'd be saying 6'8", America's first 6'8" president. I think there'd be problems there.
Well, not if de Blasio gets in there first.
All right. 855-839-1210. By the way, you got to love this stuff. And I wonder what Bernie and Elizabeth Warren and others would say. Bill Gates has ordered up a $644 million super yacht with gym, helipad, infinity pool. Wow. Yoga room, beauty room, a massage power. Well, can't be doing that, right? Oh, but wait a minute. It's hydrogen powered. So he's being sensitive, right? So which one is it? Sensitivity to climate, or this is way over the top? By the way, Dan, it mentioned massage there. One of the commandments for me is I see that one of the great massage hand in stone, I think, is out of here today.
Yep.
From 11 until 1.
Yep.
We have to send Joe over there during the break to see if people at 11 o'clock are being lined up to get a massage. And I read that and thought, oh, this is great after the show and all. Come on in here. We'll bring him in here. The only one problem is you only get a 5-minute massage.
Only 5 minutes.
I once massaged, you'd have to come in and pry me away from the masseur, because once it starts, I just can't get enough of a massage. Yes.
I will only go to men.
Why is that?
I'll go to some women as long as I kind of go through them one time and I'll go back. But there's a thing where, because I'm such a big guy, I need like way deep tissue massage. So I need like strength in my masseur.
So that's why you have to go to men.
I do.
Oh, Joe.
I always get made fun of for it, too. So
I don't care, whatever. As long as they're good at what they do. I've been massaged by men and women. One, even a Russian. There's a story at the...
Alan Dershowitz over here.
I've been massaged on the air. My pants were on the whole time, to quote Alan Dershowitz.
I can send Joe in there to do it today if you want.
I've never had a massage.
Oh, well, Joe, I think maybe you have to go and be first in line over there. It's a 5-minute
thing.
Might
be. Maybe you can do a little bit. I'll record something.
And tell us what that's like.
Yeah.
I'd like to be massaged on the air. I'd like to in future contracts, once a week on Fridays.
Should I shoot back on this email saying, can they come into Dom's studio and give him a massage? you're drooling while you're doing
it.
Yeah, but that
would take away from the – I bet there's going to be a big crowd there at 11 o'clock. What, 5 minutes, you know what's going on there. That's a tease. I mean, you need at least an hour. And then you might be okay. All right? So once it starts, it's too good, particularly if they're
greedy.
Really good.
No, it's a free massage.
5 minutes.
Five minutes is better than nothing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So you just go with men.
I can do a lot in 5 minutes.
I don't care. Joe, how about you, men or women?
I don't want a man giving me a massage.
Oh, there you go. All right. There it is. Why not, Joe? Come on. There's the sexism.
It's just weird to me. I don't know. A man, like.
It's therapeutic. It doesn't matter if it's a man.
Yeah, it's.
I don't know.
Woody George Costanza?
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
goodness. All right. Let's go to Rich in Woolwich. He's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Rich. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Dom. I'm sitting here thinking, and, maybe the Democrats are getting a better way now. I mean, it used to be the Clintons would just kill everybody that got in their way, and now the Dems are just putting them in jail, anyone who's involved against them with the president.
Well, so, we'll say allegedly on that Clinton thing. I don't think that's been established, but continue, yes.
But anyway, I'm looking at, what happened with General Flynn. Why is it worse for him than it was for the Vindman? Why isn't he prosecuted for what he did for leaking information, in the position he was in?
I don't want to hear the whistleblower.
Right.
No, he went outside the chain of command and all. And there's a political bent with this guy. There is no doubt. And I don't think the military will go after him. I think that ship has sailed. But I get your point on this. And They want to punish him because they can't get at Trump. And also, I think they think if it's an enormous sentence, he'll give up whatever he has. I don't think Roger Stone has anything to give up here. I don't think that's going to work. Manafort would be more if somebody would give something up if he had anything. Who's your sweetheart, Rich?
Well, let me ask you a question. 2 weeks ago Sunday, what were you watching on TV?
Super Bowl.
All right. Well, what about the halftime? I mean, if J-Lo was my girl now, I mean, she's incentive for my wife, all the women in the world, all the women, that were even these young guys marry now. That, look, this is what you can be at 50 years old if you take care of yourself. And, God, she's worth watching.
That's interesting there, J-Lo. So,
different spin on it.
Different spin on it. So America's Sweetheart now has a poll. She's working the poll. That's the new America's Sweetheart.
Oh, come on.
Well,
you didn't have to take it that way.
Hustlers, Well, no, there's a whole fitness thing with the poll doing that. Really?
I know what
fitness.
You're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you were going somewhere else with it. I apologize.
I mean, it's pretty risque to say that J-Lo, that's interesting America's Sweetheart. I don't know about that. But that's we like the outside the box.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a quality answer for what we're looking for today.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, sweetheart, she's not sweet. You don't think Jennifer, you know, in the infighting there, I don't quite see that. But okay, I said Ellen. Ellen is incredibly likable. And, you know, I think he's vying for that title. All right, let's go to 855-839-1210. All right, more calls coming up. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just pushed pound 1210. Here's a very good sign for Trump. Gallup has been great to Trump recently. New Gallup poll out says that more in the U.S. say they are better off than when we headed into past elections. So they have a chart. In 2020, are you better off than you were? Well, in this case, 3 years ago. When we get to the actual election, it'll be 4 years ago. In 1992, 50% of people said yes. In 1996, 50%. In 2004, 50%. In 2012, 45% said that. And now, 61% say they are better off than they were, in this case, 3 and change years ago versus it'll be 4. Wow. That is, and this is Gallup, 61% of Americans say they were better off than they were 3 years ago, a higher percentage than in previous elections when an incumbent president was running. In the 92, 96, and 2004 election cycles, exactly half said they were better off. In three separate measures during the 2012 election cycle, an average of 45% said they were better off. So how did Mitt Romney lose? Well, we've been over that millions of times. That doesn't mean Trump can't lose, but it means, boy, this is one of those things that really hits where people are living this versus some vague thing, some vague metric. On our side question today, someone emailed me. This is a good one. Candace Cameron Bure, what is her married name? B-U-R-E-A now. You know, the one from Full House.
Beret,
I guess it is, as America's sweetheart. Not well known enough, but she is in certain circles, Christian circles, I'd say.
I thought she, did she have drug issues?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe that and was her sister in the
Yeah, show. I know. I think that that's a pretty good choice, but not probably not broad enough. All right. You may not have heard about this, but NJ.com has got a big piece about Steve Sweeney, who is no longer comes on the show. He used to come on the show in South Jersey, the powerhouse there, the Senate president. And it's a group of these women in New Jersey because of what we talked about before during the Murphy campaign. Remember the female who nobody knew who hired the guy that allegedly assaulted her? So now there is a workshop group of elected women in New Jersey on harassment, sexual assault, and misogyny. And a labor activist on that group says in no uncertain terms, this happened last night in emotional testimony, a female official came forward to accuse Steve Sweeney of intimidation, including verbally threatening her in public several years ago after she opposed his efforts to cut state pensions. She argued, her name is Fran Effrit, Communication Workers of America. And she said that Sweeney contributes to a culture of toxic masculinity in New Jersey politics. Sweeney's the international vice president, Iron Workers Union, etc. And at the union meeting, she said Sweeney stood up, pointed his finger at her and said, if you were a man, I would take you right outside and kick your. When a man who's so much bigger than you towers over you, threatens you with violence, that's not okay. That is sexism. That's abuse of power. Now, what I like about this is, look, I don't know this group of women, if they're telling the truth on this stuff or not. One complained that she was a mom, couldn't go out to bars where a lot of deals were made. Well, that's politics. But I'm glad to see the infighting here. I'm glad to see them in Jersey going after each other. They create all these things, these politicians, these progressives, these Democrats, to get other men into situations that are ridiculous. Ridiculous laws, ridiculous regulations, ridiculous statements. Well, now, to quote our buddy, the chickens are coming home to roost. Because here, this panel this group of people, they're going to say stuff like this constantly. And these are prominent women. A number of them are in the legislature. A number of them are labor officials or whatever, the typical progressives in New Jersey. Now they're turning on guys like Sweeney. I don't know how Murphy avoids all this. His campaign was rife with this. You may remember the woman that we featured and talked about, Howard charges, nobody would listen to, not even the governor's wife, all that stuff. And then she gets her day in court and still nothing happens.
So, America's chickens!
Thank you.
Are coming home to roost.
Well, in this case, it's the progressive chickens. Now, coming up, we're going to speak with a national spokesperson. They were offered to us for Michael Bloomberg coming off all this. And there are several areas they wanted to talk about. We'll definitely do that. But I have a couple of questions, too, in areas that I know that you'd want to know from the former mayor and now one of the putative front runners among Democrats. And I do think that's accurate. I think it's going to be Bloomberg and Bernie that have the staying power to the end, particularly all the money that's running there. I'll ask about the money. I'll ask about what his plan is for Latino and Black entrepreneurs, businesses, neighborhoods, and all that. We're willing to do that because it'll be interesting for you to hear the response. I mean, yesterday we had on the Delco councilman who told you about it's only a $5 tax. That's not even a cup of coffee and all that stuff. I get more emails, more stuff on social media. Hey, if we can get these people on, I'm not afraid to hear what they have to say because I know more what the reality is of these things. Just like when we had Stolzheimer on. Okay? They're willing to come on, though? That's a good thing. That's what we're here for. It's not just preaching to the choir.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.